word, but you may be seated. Amen. It's so good to see Brother and Sister Ray Owens here this evening and a couple of their saints with them, and good to see you all. I had to do a double take when I seen him in there. It's like, that is who I think it is. And but it's good to see them, and it's good to see all of you. And we want to congratulate and welcome Brother and Sister Michael Swearingham, Brother Michael and Sister Beth. We want to welcome them back home and say congratulations to them, and we'll be praying for you. Amen. But no, we're happy for them. Glad to see them back. Amen. It's just good to see all of you. Amen. Well, let's just stand then. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17 says this, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And then also, if you'll turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, and it says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we're all familiar with this, says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, well, he's a liar too. I said lying. That's what he is. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour, not wound, but to devour, to destroy. That's his mission. And then again, the last portion of Genesis 22 and 17 is what I want to reference to for this little Bible study, this thought for this evening. And it says, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And so again, for a title for this evening, I want to visit with you about possessing the gates. Possessing the gates. If you'll one more time just pray for the remainder of this service, and that God would speak to us and that he would speak to you. And we want his perfect will to be accomplished. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we've come to the part in this service, God, that we long for. We want to hear from you. And God, I pray that you would give me anointing, that you would give me wisdom, that you would speak to and through me, and that your voice would go forth, and that you would speak to the hearts of every individual that's in this place. And God, I just pray for peace to come into this sanctuary in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Again, possessing the gates. You know, the other day, me and Justin was out running around, and we was driving towards south down towards Branson, and he just loves lions and tigers and all of that junk, and him and I kind of disagree. He thinks a tiger can beat up a lion, and I think the lion can beat up the tiger, and so we'll just have to agree to disagree. But anyway, we was driving down the road, and I thought, well, this would be a neat little thing just to kind of stop by, and him and I will go check this out. And of course, my hopes was that there'd be a big lion and a big tiger out there just really duking it out and just strutting their stuff, and we could see some blood and guts and the lion standing on top and saying, that's why they call me the king. But unfortunately, we didn't get to see any of that. Now, I probably could have done something to stir something like that up, but I probably would have been asked to leave. So, but anyway, but it's kind of a neat place. I'm not trying to do a promotion for them, but if you ever get a chance, it's kind of interesting, but down here at this National Tiger Sanctuary, I almost said cemetery, but it's a sanctuary. It's a neat little place to visit. Doesn't matter how old you are. I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, and they've got like three different options. We took the option to where you can either just kind of just go walk and just check it out, or you can do the one that Justin and I did. You can go It's where they do the feeding tour. Man, they feed them raw chicken and all this stuff, and it's got all the bones in it. When they feed the tigers or lions, you can just hear them just crunching on it and what it would sound like if it got a hold of you. And, man, we was just excited and thrilled. And, of course, as we was doing our little tour, it's the tour guides to explain to us each little kitten or tiger or lion or whatever's there, of why they're there. And, you know, some of them's there because of sickness or abuse or whatever the case. But bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, they're still lions and they're still tigers. And those tour guides was just doing their job. But they were trying to portray to them as so innocent and so playful. And you know, just listen real close, and you'll hear a little growl or a purr or whatever. And it's just because, you know, they're so cute and so loving, and they know we're bringing the chicken to them, and isn't that cute? Well, in my mind, I'm thinking they're still a lion and they're still a tiger. And again, boy, when it goes to that hearing them bones crunch, Michael, it's just like, I'm glad there's a gate there. There's a fence there. But we come to this one, and I forget his name, and she was telling his little sob story while he was here and trying to convince us that he was real shy and bashful or whatever. And he was kind of like me. He might appear to be bashful, but when you wave some chicken in front of him, you kind of get his attention. It's like, whoa. And she had that piece of meat in her hand, and he was, I mean, that joker was, you know, they're at least that tall just on all fours. And when she grabbed that piece of meat and just took it up there, that thing stood straight up, and I literally looked up at him like this, and he had all his paws all over that fence and stuff, and I might be exaggerating a little bit, but if he was down there, he could probably almost touch that speaker. Well, maybe. Well, if he jumped, he could. But he was huge. And I got a fresh respect and perspective of how big that tiger was. And again, I thought, man, I'm glad there's a fence there. There's a locked gate, hopefully, between him and me. And again, he sat back down or whatever, and you know, the tour guides are telling their little stories, and these tigers at each little section or these lions, they'd be walking back and forth just as next to that fence as they could, and they was like, isn't he cute? And let's see if he can purr, see if he can growl. And I'm thinking, no, he's scouting us out, seeing which one's got the most meat on him. And he's thinking, if I can find an opening in this gate, that little short, bald-headed guy right there, I could probably survive a day or two on him. And they're still lions, and they're still tigers. And I'm thinking, you know, if I was to pick on him and mock him and get him a little bit riled up, and me thinking that fence and that gate's secure, you know, I didn't actually walk up there and jiggle that to see if it was locked or not. But something, again, with them being a tiger or a lion, I would hate for them to be able to find that opening and come and look at me, because something tells me, my instincts tells me that his instincts would probably kick in too. And he probably wouldn't be as cute and fluffy and cool, because they would probably hear my bones crunching in his mouth. And but you know, it's when you think of stuff like that, things may appear innocent when, you know, there is a fence or a gate between you and excuse me, what's on the other side. And again, if that gate is left unlocked or opened and you become exposed to what was on the other side, again, the true nature of the beast on the other side will reveal itself. Again, those tigers and lions seem so playful and innocent, but I wouldn't want to give them a chance to look at me eyeball to eyeball. And but gates are designed to keep things in, and they're also designed to keep things out. And it's for your protection. You know, the Bible shows us clearly, especially all throughout the Old Testament, that the weakness and the strength of a fortress or a stronghold always rested within its gates. And the gates of a city were obviously very significant. Gates were shut and locked at nightfall because the gates were the access point from which the enemy could potentially attack what you was trying to protect. You know, there would be times that the enemy would perhaps use a battering ram against the gates, and if they were successful with their battering rams and broke down those gates, they would burn those gates, and then they would attack that city and everything that was within the confines of that border. You know, and gates also serve for many other reasons. You know, a lot of times idol worship was performed at gates. And also gates in the cities, there was seats of authority established there. And judges and officers served at the gates. Governing justice and the councils of state were held at the gates. Also, the word of God was read at the gates, and this is where prophets proclaimed God's message, was at some gates. And the people also had to enter through the gates in the Old Testament through the temple, and they was required to enter the gates with praise and with worship and with thanksgiving. In fact, Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good," amen, "and his mercy is everlasting." Thank God for that. "And his truth endureth to all generations." I'm so thankful for that. Now, I know I'm going slow. It's because I'm trying to eat some time here. Plus, it's hot. I don't know where Brother Brill got this air conditioning. Feels good in here, because it doesn't. Maybe it's just because I'm up here. But again, gates were not only found in cities, but also in camps and homes, temples, and palaces. Again, gates are designed for protection from the enemy. Gates are designed to keep things in, and are also designed to keep things out. And ladies and gentlemen, when we receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost by repenting of our sins and being baptized in the name of Jesus, and we spoke in other tongues as the initial evidence of that infilling, we became the temple and the dwelling place of His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And so again, guarding the doors and gates of our temples, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very critical. You have to keep in mind that when you were forgiven of your sins and you were filled with the Holy Ghost, that the blood of Jesus was applied to your lives, and all of the unclean spirits and sins were removed from you, and Jesus came into your heart and he sealed you with his Spirit. And in other words, he placed a gate in your heart and he gave you the responsibility and also the authority to guard your heart and to keep the gates to your temple locked and secure, to help prevent things from the outside, from the spirit of the world and from the spirit of the enemy of your soul, from re-entering into your vessel, your earthen vessel, into your temple. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are not careful and we forget to guard, if we forget to protect and to shut the doors to our souls in defense from our enemy, then ladies and gentlemen, we stand a chance of being attacked and allowing the enemy to walk right back in and take over, and he will begin to build strongholds again. Strongholds that God had delivered you from. And we are instructed by the Word of God in Ephesians 4 and 27, and it says this, "Neither give place to the devil." And so why would he say that, or why would he give us this warning? If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 and through 45, it says this. And listen carefully. "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, then that unclean spirit walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, and he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now notice he didn't say he found it locked up and secure, but he found it clean, empty, and garnished. Or another word, that word garnished means decorated. And I got to thinking, well, what was it garnished with? What was it decorated with? Was it garnished and decorated with the trends of the world, or was it decorated or garnished the things of, say, modesty, and it was replaced with immodesty? And that may be a lesson for another time, perhaps, but that's a good thought. But this is why, and pardon me for being a little personal here with my notes here, but this is why I get a little nervous when and pay careful attention to what I'm saying here. But I get a little nervous when people come and they repent of their sins, which is a good thing, by the way. And it's very needful. And they get forgiven. That's a good thing. And they get cleansed. That's a good thing. But they do not take that experience any further. And they don't get refilled with the Holy Ghost, allowing that same experience, that infilling of the Holy Ghost, the infilling evidenced by speaking in other tongues, but they have that clean feeling about them. But what happens is, if that's all they do is just repent, yes, they're washed, they're clean, but they don't get their temple resealed and new gates of protection by His Spirit reapplied, and all they have done, in my opinion, is swept and cleaned their temple, but they have, again, failed to be refilled. They leave here clean and empty, because they feel good and their emotions are flying so high. But oftentimes it's within just a few days or so and they have fallen back into that same sin. Not that that was their intentions, but again, this is where one can become so vulnerable and become prey to the unclean spirits if they are not careful. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we must repent of our sins. We're all sinners saved by grace. When we come and we have an opportunity to get things right with God, and we come and find an altar and we pray and we seek forgiveness, but don't just stop there and get up and walk away. Get deep into that realm of the Spirit and begin to thank Him for forgiving you of your sins and ask Him to help you and begin to praise and to worship Him and allow His Spirit to come and overshadow you again until you begin to pray in the Spirit. Because now that you're clean and you're in all of this, then God says, I'll come back and I'll live inside of you. Because He doesn't dwell in filthy houses. Amen? And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Maybe I'm not articulating this very well, but again, this is where we see where people mess up. Again, it's not their intentions to repent and walk out and just pick it back up. That's not their intentions. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a process. Yes, repent. But we've got to continue to pray our way through until the Holy Ghost fills us back up. Because if not, here's what will happen. Verse 45. Then goeth he, the unclean spirit, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. As if the one we've been dealing with wasn't difficult enough. But he brings seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Notice in verse 44 where the unclean spirit still tries to claim you as his house, his temple, and his dwelling place. And ladies and gentlemen, he will use whatever he can to destroy you. He will use things. He will use circumstances and situations. And he will use sickness. And he will devise a more powerful and tempting temptations to break down your gates to your heart and to your soul. And ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress to you enough that we've got to make sure that the gates to our soul are sealed, that they are shut, they are locked. Don't just assume that they are shut and locked. Double check the gates to your heart. We have been given the authority to guard and to protect the gates of our earthen vessel, this temple, And ladies and gentlemen, it's our duty, it's my duty, it's my responsibility to constantly, again, double check the gates of my soul. I've been given the keys to my soul. Those keys give me the power and the authority to bind and to loose, to open or to shut the gates to my soul. But ladies and gentlemen, tonight, and I hope you will agree with me, but I want the enemy to know that I belong to the King of Kings. I belong to the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Lover of my soul. And all of those describe my God, Jesus Christ. I want Him to be the one living inside this earthen vessel. I don't want or desire unclean spirits living inside of me and controlling me. But I want to be filled with His Spirit. Again, you can double-check the security of your soul by praying and seeking after God and reading the Word of God and, again, repenting and getting refilled with His Spirit as often as you can and asking God to search your heart and God, if I have allowed something to creep in due to my slackness or perhaps I've allowed temptation to pry open a door or maybe I even left the key underneath the welcome mat and said, come on in anytime you want. Sometimes maybe you've allowed the enemy to come in and have access to your heart and to your mind. But then, ladies and gentlemen, what you need to do is just simply pray and say, God, would you help me to repent and change me and help me to become more aware so that I can be protected from the enemy of my soul. But again, we read it earlier where the devil, as a roaring lion, walks very, very close to the gates of your heart, to your soul, trying to find an opening, trying to find an access point into your life, into your world. And he's just waiting. And sometimes, like me thinking with those lions and those tigers, I wonder if I could walk up and just shake the fence and make fun of them. It's like, you can't get me because there's a fence or there's a gate between you and me. And you know, years ago, I used to build chain link fences and wood fences and we would replace some old existing fences that was kind of worn out, and so they would have us come and repair them. And sometimes we was just called to come and replace a gate because what had happened is those fence installers, they had put a gate in there, but it was, over time, it had kind of just lost its firmness, and it began to relax a little bit. And that little latch that goes over the post there had become, it used to be tight and secure in that little U latch or whatever, and it'd be tight and secure. You could shake it, and that gate wouldn't come open. But over time, that thing would wear out, and those poles or whatever would begin to relax, and that little latch would become further and further out. And it had the appearance of looking locked and secure from a distance. But if anything really wanted to come into that yard, he could easily just push that thing open. You know, it's kind of like walking around in your house at night and want to double check the door. It's like you can't just assume because the door is shut that it's locked and that it's secure. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to be careful when we allow things and situations to overwhelm us and we get a little distracted and we get a little slack in trying to make sure that the gates to my house, to my temple is secure. But sometimes we can become a little slack and become a little too comfortable and saying, oh, everything's okay. And sometimes we may get a little cocky attitude, like, you know, I don't need to pray today. I know God's got me, and His mercy will be renewed in the morning, and His grace is always sufficient. And you know, it looks okay. I think it looks locked. And so in my opinion, what you're doing is you're walking around, and you're just playing around with the temptation that's on the other side of that fence. And you're just rattling it, making fun of it, saying, you can't get me. But if you're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, if you allow those unclean spirits to get a hold of you, they're going to push those gates down, and they're going to jump on you, and they're going to overwhelm you, and they're going to start to build strongholds back in you. And like we just read, some of those unclean spirits, you thought you had them whooped, but when he brings back seven more, that's even more worse than him. I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't know about you, but I need God. I'm still carnal. I'm still flesh. I'm still human. I'm not perfect. I need him. I need him. And ladies and gentlemen, we've come too far. We have come too far by faith. And he's never failed me. He has never failed me. And I don't want to lose his protection. I don't want to lose his favor. I don't want to lose his blessings. But ladies and gentlemen, if there's someone in here tonight and you're dealing with stuff and you don't know where it came from and you feel so heavy and you feel so oppressed and you don't know what's going on, can I challenge you to, can you just check the gates? Can you make sure that the gates to your heart and to your soul are secure? Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God's coming soon. And you're not promised even a safe trip home tonight. I don't know when God's calendar says it's time for Brent to check out. And we live in such a filthy, filthy world. We can't afford to be flirting around with the world, the spirits of the world. But can you imagine gates of your, not only your temple, but maybe gates at your physical home? And can you imagine maybe the devil and about 7 or 8 of his little imps are hanging around the gates of your house? And every night they sit there and they think, I wonder if Brent locked the door. I wonder if he double-checked the door to his home. I wonder what we could do to distract him. I wonder what we can do to destroy him. I wonder what we could do for his faith to decrease. I wonder what we could do to destroy him, his family, his health. I wonder what I could do. That's what they do at the gates. The enemy of your soul sit there, and they begin to counsel with each other. They begin to devise plans on how to destroy you. Can I get him with this? Can I get him with that? Can I get to his family? That's why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen. Check the locks, not only of your earthen vessel, but in the spiritual realm. Make sure that you're pleading the blood of Jesus over your home, pleading the blood over the gates of your home, because they're that close to your house. He's a lion walking around, sitting at the gates of your home, seeking to devour you. When he leaves to go to work, I wonder if he prayed. I wonder if he remembered to plead the blood of Jesus over his life. I wonder if I can attach one of my little spirits to him and let him carry that and see how he responds to that. Men, I challenge you. It's your duty, it's your responsibility to plead the blood over your home. I wonder what it's like at the gates of the doors to this sanctuary, Harvest Ministries. Harvest, ladies and gentlemen, is a good church. She was built to last. She was built to float. She's going to make it. But I wonder if we can see in the spirit realm, outside the gates of the entrance of this facility, of all of the imps and all of the devils that sits out there watching who enters and watches who leaves. You don't know what's being advised or counseled against this local church trying to trip it up and to get it unfocused. What can I do? What can we devise to interrupt revival? What can I do or what can we do to cause confusion and chaos? Can I use intimidation? Can I use fear? Can I use doubt? Can I get them to have a spirit of unbelief? What can we do to destroy this church? But I'm telling you, this is God's church. This is your church. And we've got to do the best that we can, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to possess the gates of not only ourselves, but we've got to possess the gates of our homes. But we've got to possess the gates of this church. And we need to possess the gates of this city if we're going to have revival. We cannot allow those spirits to sit out there and try to concoct an idea on how to destroy us. Plead the blood over this church. Pray for souls. It's our job, it's our duty to pray one for another, to encourage one another, not to open up that gate just a little bit and go out there and sit with them and talk bad about your brother and sister or talk bad about this church. That's dangerous. It's not very wise. And I probably shouldn't have steered away from my notes, but I had to. I feel passionate about this. But ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea the gates of your family and the gates of your home, what's sitting out there trying to devise a plan to destroy you. And if you're in this place today and you've entertained thoughts of quitting the church or thinking that this church is not important and it can't save you, and you better be careful. You better wise up. Because that's just like lions or any wild beast. When they start getting their eye on something, they want to target something. They don't focus on the strong ones. They don't focus on the ones that's coming to the prayer meetings. They don't come to the ones that's fasting and all this. No, they're sitting at the gates waiting for one that looks a little puny, looks a little wore out, looks a little distraught, looks a little discouraged. And they say, ah, there's one. And what they do is they go over and they attach themselves. Is this too much for you all? But that's how serious it is, ladies and gentlemen, living for God. You've got to be sincere about your relationship with Him. And if your relationship's not what it used to be, you're still here and you're breathing. You've still got hope, Brother Owens. There's still chance. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Praise God. Would you just lift up your hands just for a moment, just pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I plead Your blood over every family. I plead Your blood over every home. I plead Your blood over every marriage. I plead Your blood in the name of Jesus. Praise God. But again, we need to declare some things, and we need to start right here. You need to begin to declare victory over your soul, victory over your mind. The enemy needs to understand that he can no longer call me his dwelling place. I don't belong to him. He no longer has power over me. And he and his friends are not welcome in this earthen vessel. Again, the enemy will come against you, and he will use weapons of condemnation. He will use weapons of fear, doubt, unbelief, intimidation. But let me remind you of a verse. Isaiah 54 and 17 says this, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Let me say it again. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Again, I want to possess the gates of my heart, this earthen vessel. I want God to help me. I can't do it by myself. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to repossess the gates. And you have the power, you have the authority to do that. Because when we repented of our sins, we were baptized in the name of Jesus and His blood was applied to our lives. I'll say it again. And when we receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we become a child of the King. And His royal, precious blood now flows through my veins. And when He adopted me and He became my spiritual father, He gave me permission to use His name. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for the name of Jesus? Come on now. No other name. No other name. And Jesus is all powerful. I don't know if it's just me or what, but boy, there's a... Would you just start pleading the blood? Come on, help me out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're not going to be intimidated. In the name of Jesus. I tell you what, I'm going to stop with my notes and everything else. I tell you what, would you stand, and if you feel like it, would you just come up here around this altar, and would you just find a place to pray? In the name of Jesus, God help us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead your blood, Lord Jesus. This is your church. Hallelujah. I pray against every demonic spirit that's sitting on the outside of the gates of our homes and our lives in this church, that's counseling and advising on how to destroy. It's not going to happen. We have the blood of Jesus over us. The devil can't cross the bloodline. He has no authority to do that. God, in this place right now, Lord, I want to repent of my sins. God, right now, I want to take advantage of this moment, God, and I want to walk around and make sure that the gates of my heart and my soul is secure and that they are locked. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Keep us protected. God, you're the strong tower that we can run to and be safe. You're my refuge. You're my rock, Lord. You're my fortress, Lord Jesus. God, let there be something miraculous happen in this service tonight. Let there be some restoration, Lord, take place in this very service, God. Let there be spiritual healing take place in this atmosphere, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I plead your blood, Lord. I plead your blood, Lord. God, I want to take back possession of my gates, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, let there be conviction in this place, Lord. Convict each and every one of us in this place, Lord. Because it's by your conviction, Lord, that you will draw men to an altar, Lord. I pray against condemnation, which draws us away from an altar. Because condemnation makes us feel unworthy of your grace and your mercy. But Lord, your conviction and your love says, come, get back to the altar, and I will forgive. But you've got to get deeper than that. You've got to push through it to allow me to refill you with my spirit, is what he desires. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.